Welcome to the Mold Matters Podcast. Whether you are looking for help recovering from mold illness or just want to learn more about creating a safe environment for your family, this podcast is the place for you.
Hello and welcome to the Mold Matters Podcast. My name is Jeremy Evans, your host, alongside Mike Adams.
Hi, Jer.
How are you?
Good. Very good.
Good. It's always good to be together with you.
Yes, it
talking
is.
Talking about mold.
It's our life, Jer. It's our life. Yeah. We're not the mold guys. We're the fun guys.
Yeah. It's the life. It really is the life. And just so you know, it says it in our introductory little message, but we've dedicated this podcast to mold education, specifically focusing on health as well as some remediation tactics, as well as just understanding how mold operates how it affects our lives and our homes. So we've covered an array of topics, talked to an array of experts, and
it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've helped somebody.
Yeah. And our producer Nez is bugging us to say you need to subscribe or to encourage.
She's behind the glass. He can't do much to us right now.
Yeah, but wants us to say subscribe. So. All right.
Please subscribe.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that, but but I'm sure our listening audience does.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. We actually have a huge list of topics that are in the chute. And as I've mentioned before, if you have a topic that you're really aching to know about, please message us and we can consider doing that. So this one, the impetus behind this one, Mike, is kind of funny. I mean, I don't know what the impetus is, but you and I were kind of laughing about how anyone who really writes about mold,
I know where you're going with this.
A book or a blog or something.
Yeah. What? I can tell you the first one is, you know, Jeremy, mold is ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're thinking?
Yeah, that's one of them. So when someone's writing a blog or an article, just introductory, you know, comments about mold, they'll always say, mold is ubiquitous. Da, 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 da.
And then we all have to stop and look up what ubiquitous means.
It means everywhere, FYI. Yeah. And then another thing that they commonly say is, they even discovered mold in the Bible. It talks about it.
Jer, mold's been around forever.
It's been around a long time.
It's even in the Bible.
It's even in the Bible. So,
yeah.
And there are probably a couple other things that you commonly, you start reading about mold and you're just bound to see these things. Yeah. So
it's like everybody that writes about mold, I got to prove my credentials somehow. So I got to throw in ubiquitous and Leviticus.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about how ubiquitous mold is. Mm-hmm. That's definitely no secret on this podcast. Today thought this would be kind of a fun one where we'll talk about what it mentions in the Bible about mold. Because it actually, I mean, surprisingly mentions it, you know, quite a few times.
Yeah.
And even gives, you know, some, you know, ancient remediation practices and just some things that they were thinking. I'd like to even read some of those verses, Mike, and then If you have a comment, jut in, because there's some interesting commentary to be made, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Sunday School is brought to you by Jeremy.
Yeah, here we are. Well, yeah. I always thought you were a spiritual guy, Mike.
I try. And so I really do. I try.
Here we are. So actually, I'm going to start in Leviticus 14, unless you wanted me to start somewhere else. You have some stuff in 13?
There's some stuff in 13, but it's more along the lines of health, personal health. The Bible kind of, the translation of the Bible kind of confuses, I think, mold with leprosy.
Yeah.
And they use it kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, I did read about that.
Yeah, but 13 is more, you know, if you've got it on your skin, leprosy or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go to 14.
We'll go to 14. So I'm actually just going to read some of it, if you're okay with that. And we'll just plug in some commentary. So this is referring to Moses and Aaron. When you enter the land of Canaan, which I'm giving you as your possession, and I put a spreading mold in a house in that land, almost like it's a curse.
Sounds yeah.
Like, the owner of the house must go and tell the priest, quote, I have seen something that looks like a defiling mold in my house.
See, we get those phone calls all the time. They don't say it in those that many words, but yeah.
That would be funny if they used the word defiling.
I've got a defiling.
They should, because it is. Yeah. Going on, the priest is to order the house to be emptied before he goes in to examine the mold. Now, we have people empty when we do some treatments, but not before we examine it. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but some. I mean,
I guess in some cases, yeah. How bad yeah. it is. So that nothing in the house will be pronounced unclean. After this, the priest is to go in and inspect the house. He is to examine the mold on the walls, and if he has, and if it has greenish or reddish depressions that appear to be deeper than the surface of the wall, the priest shall go out the doorway or of the house and close it up for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall return to inspect the house, and if the mold has spread on the walls, he is to order that the house, or that the contaminated stones be torn out and thrown away into an unclean place outside town.
Okay, now let's talk about this for a second. Okay. Why do you think the 7 days?
I don't know, but we were commenting on, you know, how does this differ from current practice?
Right.
I don't know that I would say, oh, you've got mold in your house, leave, and let's just lock it up for 7 days.
Let's shut her down.
In most cases, that would make it worse.
Correct.
You know, especially if you didn't have, like, HVAC running, those right. kinds of things. What are your thoughts on the 7 days?
Well, two things. One is I'm picturing, and I don't know, but I'm picturing a stone wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is not a great food source for mold to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around all of this. But
Yeah, that's a good point because, yeah, anciently, it's not like they're dealing with paper right. walls like we have, paper and you know, the gypsum board. So you'd think that... But I, you know, let me give you a story. I was in Cancun, Mexico last year, just on a vacation, and we went to a lot of ruins, mm-hmm. and all of it was stone built.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure it's a very wet place. Right. And you'd see like kind of algae moss stuff growing on all mm-hmm. kinds of things, yeah. rocks and trees. And I thought, you know, these structures, yeah, stone is not a great source for mold. I'm not going to see it inside, or, you know, it's pretty well ventilated. Now, again, that's probably because they've been deteriorated so much. But I actually went into a couple of stone structures where I did not feel good.
You could tell it was mold, huh?
Yeah, and I think it's largely, yeah, I felt kind of like I do in some of these moldy.
Well, I guess it's no different than mold growing on your ductwork, your aluminum ductwork. Mm-hmm. You would think aluminum is a terrible source for food, for mold. But if there's enough dirt on there or dust.
That's probably where it starts, right? It starts on that dirt and dust. But yeah, the other thing I noticed is, you know, those structures, especially when they were, you'd get deep into a cavern or something, mm-hmm. they do not breathe well. I mean, there's little to no fresh air in there. And so, although it's not a great source, there was just.
Yeah. And for all we know, there was a misunderstanding in the translation, you know, maybe it was leave the house for 7 minutes.
That's true. What is a day? What is a day in the Bible? Right. That, you know, it was built, or the world was created in 7 days.
Right.
So.
That's pretty quick.
That's pretty quick to build a world. Okay. So carrying on.
Yeah.
So, you know, tear down the stones, take him to this unclean place reserved for that kind of stuff outside of town. And then he must have all the inside walls of the house scraped and the material that is scraped off dumped into the unclean place outside of town.
So the unclean place being the city dump, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So where we take our stuff too.
Right.
Then they are to take other stones to replace these and take new clay and plaster the house. So replace it with some new stones and plaster the house. Carrying on, 43, if the defiling mold reappears in the house after the stones have been torn out and the house scraped and plastered, the priest is to go and examine it, and if the mold is spread in the house, it is a persistent defiling mold. So there's mold, defiling mold, and then persistent defiling mold. Mm-hmm. The house is unclean. So they're kind of describing, this is kind of neat because it's almost they recognize mold load.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, like we got rid of some visible stuff. But
We spot treated it, but it came back. So obviously this entire edifice is full of mold. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would, that's a really interesting insight. I actually didn't notice that as clearly before when I was reading this. So if it's a persistent defiling mold, the house is unclean. It must be torn down, its stones, timbers, and all the plaster, and taken out. The whole house should be taken out to the unclean place or to the dump.
I think you stumbled onto something there, Jer. That makes sense now.
Mold load is in the scriptures. What?
Well,
can you believe that, Mike? It's in the Bible.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not entirely surprised.
that
makes sense. Yeah, spot treating does not work even
anciently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's keep going here. So we're going to get into clothes a little bit. Anyone who goes into the house while it is closed up will be unclean till evening. Anyone who sleeps or eats in the house must wash their clothing.
Yeah.
So we do know that mold can get into your clothing.
In fact, I had that just last week. Yeah. I'll tell the audience the story. Is I was walking around and I kept telling Jeremy, something in this, we have a warehouse here in Utah, something in this warehouse is making my nose just stuffy. I just stuffed up.
Yeah.
And
you had me even like come sniff where you were.
Yeah.
Like,
I said, come over here. In fact, I said, smell this garbage can, Jeremy. Can you smell something? Or I was just, my nose was stuffed up. And then we were in my truck later and my wife said to me, Mike, I think it's your coat that stinks. And then you were in the back seat and you were like, holy cow. Yeah, it's bad. So my coat had been in a house that we had not treated yet. And it attaches itself to clothing. It absolutely.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. And that is, you normally get, well, at least that's one of your symptoms, right?
That's one of my symptoms. I get real stuffy. And then the other symptom I get is sometimes I can't get enough air to complete a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I totally can relate. So yeah, I mean, it definitely gets into those clothes, and there's ways to kind of wash and get it out of those linens and stuff. And
right.
And I recommend it if you have an issue like that. I don't think.
What does Aaron think he needs to do?
What does Aaron think he needs to do?
The priest Aaron. Yeah.
Well, with the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not. I don't have that pulled up, but because this is going to go more into the. The bird incident.
Oh, if you remember that. Yeah.
Do you have Aaron's words in front of you? I don't.
I don't. Are you talking about the two birds?
Yeah, but I wanted to. I know what you're talking about with Aaron, and I didn't have it pulled up.
Okay, here it is. But if the priest comes to examine it, and mildew has not spread after the house has been plastered, he shall pronounce the house clean because the mildew is gone. To purify the house, he is to take two birds and some cedar wood. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, it says to purify the house, he is to take two birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop. Hyssop is like a kind of a bush, right? Or a tree.
Yeah.
He shall kill one of the birds over fresh water. Kids, we're sorry about this if this is graphic. Kill one of the birds over fresh water in a clay pot. Then he is to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet yarn, and the live bird. Dip them into the blood of the dead bird, which I'm sure they caught the blood in the clay pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which also has some fresh water in it. And then sprinkle the house seven times.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much more clear I need to make that, Jer, to you. We like our listening audience to try the same thing at home.
Yeah.
He goes on, he shall purify the house with the bird's blood, the fresh water, the live bird, the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet yarn. Then he is to release the live bird in the open field outside the town. In this way, he will make atonement for the house and it will be clean.
It's I did notice when it talked about dipping, kind of mixing the blood.
And the water?
The water.
It's
kind of, you're diluting the product.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right. According to label.
According to label, yeah.
Exactly by label, yeah.
In fact, I was thinking, I wonder what the EPA would say about this little
Well, they haven't protocol here. They haven't made any claims, so I think they're okay.
Yeah, as long as they don't say anything. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So yeah, and there are actually a handful of other times where it mentions mold. You mentioned earlier, Mike, we've read this guy who totally researched this out and even got into the Hebrew and the Greek of the Bible and basically said the word for leprosy, there's two of them, and he believes that in certain cases, what was translated as leprosy is probably something like mold or, I mean, that was his hypothesis. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah. And what was I'm trying to remember the word, like ozba or something like that.
I can tell you right now, it's tsara'at. Tsara'at.
I was not even close on that one.
You were not. But hey, it's okay. We only speak, mostly English and the Spanish that you know.
And the Russian that you know, Jerry.
Yeah. So that's the Bible. And then a couple of the things we wanted to mention, I think this is kind of interesting because we were talking about basically, how did we get onto Aspergillus?
Well, I had been researching Aaron being a priest. In fact, that's,
yeah,
you know, the Aaronic priesthood is named after Aaron, correct?
Yeah.
And anyway, somehow I was on the internet and I found this priest who had discovered this certain type of mold.
Oh, okay.
Called, well, let me read this. So this was a, where did I put it? This was a priest in Italy. Aspergillus was first cataloged in 1729 by the Italian priest and biologist Pier Antonio. I'm sure he went by Tony. Hey, Tony. Pier Antonio Michelli. He was viewing fungi under a microscope. Michelli was reminded of the shape of an aspergillum. Now, Jared, you know what an aspergillum is, right?
I do now. after
okay.
I do now.
So what's an aspergillum?
Well, from what I understand, an aspergillum is something anciently. This is where, this is where we connected it.
Yeah, right.
Because anciently they used an aspergillum was something that they used to sprinkle holy water.
Correct.
During some kind of ceremonies.
Yeah.
Which is, coincidentally, when you're reading some of these passages, that's what they did is they sprinkled some stuff.
The bird blood and the...
Yeah. Yeah.
According to label.
Yeah. According to label. Uh-huh. To take care of mold. So that's very interesting that, 1800 years later or whatever.
Yeah.
How many, no, more than that. Many, many thousands of years later.
Right. Yeah.
You've got this guy
crazy
in the 1800s, right?
1729.
Yeah. Who decided to name the Aspergillus. He's the one that named Aspergillus, right?
Yeah. Aspergillus, because it reminded him of the
Aspergillum,
which is the instrument that they use to sprinkle
holy water.
Yeah.
And to give you a visual, since many of you are probably listening, an aspergillum.
Wait, let me preface this by saying you did not think it looked like an aspergillum, did you?
Well, not at first, because I'm used to looking at reports of, from spore trap testing.
Right.
I've looked at many, 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 microscopic slides.
Aspergilli,
and it's usually just a dot. I mean, it really is just a speck on there. And this one had a speck with a pillar or a pole going into it, a little shaft.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait a minute. Only to realize they're keeping the hyphae
connected to it. Right.
So
when he looked at it under the microscope, he probably saw that little dot.
Yeah.
Plus the little hyphae stem, or what, we say stem, that's not the right word, but the hyphae that's connected to the spore itself.
Yeah.
And he thought that looked like an...
He thought, what we all would think. We would say aspergillum.
That's what I would think immediately, is an aspergillum.
So yeah. that's an ancient aspergillum right there. And so, that's really interesting. So I think as far as the Bible goes, I think we're going to wrap it up there, but we'd like to take a commercial break and then we're going to field a few questions from our listeners.
That sounds great.
Does that sound okay, Mike?
Yes.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you aware how dangerous mold can be? Did you know 70% of people in the world have mold inside their homes? And about half of these people are genetically predisposed to mold-related health problems? Tune in to expert host, author Mike Adams, and mold specialist Jeremy Evans on the Mold Matters podcast and hear them discuss the effects of mold in your life and how to best take care of it.
Obviously there might be more to say about mold, but I think it's interesting to hear those passages and just think about how this really has been a problem from the beginning and people have been trying to figure it out from the beginning.
Well, and interestingly enough, at least I think it's interesting that here in the United States, mold remediation really wasn't a thing until maybe the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it has a lot to do with HVAC systems in a home.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of mold in one bedroom, but we installed this mold distribution system to make sure we get mold throughout the home.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed the way we build things and we're using, inferior products where they used to use really good hardwood.
Yeah.
We're now using other things. We've talked about that in other podcasts, but
yeah,
we've done some dumb things to make our houses moldy.
That's really true. It took us thousands of years and we're just barely starting to be like, wait a minute. But again, like you said, it's what we're doing to our homes. So
yeah,
really interesting. Okay. We're going to just do a few questions. I'll ask them to you, Mike.
Okay.
What is the most dangerous mold out there? Is there one?
No, my personal opinion, no. I think there's a couple that are really scary molds compared to the others. But I guess my first thought when you said that, what is the most dangerous mold out there? It's the one that's in your house right now.
Yeah, you know? That's a good one.
But you talk about the two, what we call marker molds, are Stachybotrys and Caetomium. But having said that, I've seen people get really, really sick from just Cladosporium or Aspergillus or, Fusarium.
Yeah.
It's really hard because it's almost a moving target because different molds affect different people.
Yeah.
And it could even be, my wife is sick and I feel fine. And it's kind of a moving target. It's hard to wrap your arms around it.
Well, and, we always talk about the woes of testing, and I've had people say, hey, actually, I just had this a couple of weeks ago. He's like, hey, I had, looks like a little bit higher on the Penicillium aspergillus.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm allergic to because I'm feeling sick. And I tend to say, I don't know that I would look at that air quality test and you must be sensitive to Penicillium and aspergillus because they're a little higher on this test.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if that's a great way, anyways, to diagnose it. I agree.
Yeah.
You actually answered the third one, so I'm going to go to the second one.
Okay.
How do I know if there's a lot of mold in my home?
I don't know if there's a great definitive way to know. I mean, there's all kinds of testing that can be done. I'll tell you what kind of is a tried and true test is if you go away on vacation and feel great, and then you come home and either one of two things happens. One is you open the door and you're wondering, wow, that smells kind of musty in our home. You probably have mold.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go away and feel great and then come home and start feeling kind of rotten again, that's a big sign that you have mold as well.
And have someone who doesn't live with you and who's not, because you get nose blind.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't live with you, have them come visit and tell them to be really honest. What do you smell in my house?
Be deadly honest with me. Yeah.
And if they say, yeah, it smells funky, a little musty, a little, this house you and I were just in this morning, it didn't smell musty to me, but it definitely had that, like we talked, that sweet toxin-y smell to it.
And it'll throw you too, because when people use air fresheners throughout the home, it's really hard to sniff that out.
Yeah. Cause that lady, I asked her, I was like, can you smell that? And she's like, no. And I'm pretty sure she lives there. I mean, it's hard to smell it if you're in it all the time, but I'm not in it all the time. And I came in and we immediately both looked at each other.
Just like, oh man, it's not good.
Funky,
and we did find a fairly significant patch of, of mold.
Yeah, we did. Luckily towards the end there. Yeah. And then last question, you kind of already mentioned it, but it's this idea of, why am I sick, but my husband's not, or my other family members are
this not? This is one of the most common things we run into is a husband thinking his wife is just nuts.
Yeah.
Just, we see it every day where the wife is sick and the husband is not. And it's no different than, one kid may have a peanut allergy and the rest of the kids in the family are fine. It doesn't mean the one kid that has a peanut allergy doesn't mean it's all in his head. It means he has a peanut allergy, and mold is the same exact way. Some people are allergic to it, and it causes some kind of a response to your, to your system. And some can live in horrendous mold and it doesn't bother him at all.
Yeah.
So it's like I say, it's a moving target that way as well. Is everybody responds to different molds differently.
Yeah.
And so it's, I've learned over the years, just if she feels like she has mold in the home, she probably has mold in the home.
Yeah, I agree. So, well, thanks, Mike. I think we'll call that a podcast, call that an episode. And again, I don't want it to say this, but our producer does, to subscribe. It's not me.
Have we complimented Nez? She's a great producer.
She's really good. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Keeps us on track and
she does
just telling people to subscribe. All right. Well, till next time, thanks for joining us and have a great one.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mold Matters podcast. Be sure to subscribe for more in-depth information on mold illness and recovery.